not know me, my name is Christina Levishev, and I'm the women's pastor here at Grace. And I've been in this role, we're pushing 9 years, but I've been at the church for 18, and I love Grace, and I love us women being able to gather. So I'm curious, you guys aren't with me yet. Just saying. But I'm curious, how many of you are new or newer to Grace? And you can define newer. I want you to raise your hands high. And for those of you who are not new to Grace, I would love for you to look around and see those. Put those hands up. See who those new people are. I want you to make sure that every single one of those women feels so seen and loved today, okay? You guys really are like herding cats. I try to start on time, but what's the point, right? All right, you guys, I love people who register early, right? There are some of you who are going, I didn't register. That's okay. You don't have to register for this, but I love people who register early. And so for that, I'm going to give our first to register is going to get a little gift, and that this time is Cody Miller. Cody, way to be first to register. I love it. I also love those who arrive early, but unfortunately I wasn't in the room when people were arriving, but the first person that sat down was Bobby Bradley. So way to go, Bobby Bradley. Okay, so you guys, since I've been in this role, I've been doing a summer study every year except last year. Last year we didn't do one because I was in Turkey, and I was super sad. I was super excited to be in Turkey. I'm super sad not to be able to do one, so I'm excited to be back at this. And one of the things I love about the summer study is we get to go after kind of a topic or a subject that's usually pretty relatable, right? And surrender is... it's something God's been doing in my life, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But I love teaching from that place of what God is up to. So you guys keep coming in. You're going to end up having to be in the front seat at some point. So all that to say, our intention for this morning, our intention for these 3 weeks, is if our hearts are just a little bit more surrendered to the Lord, He has done a good thing. Even if we move the ball just a little bit toward deeper surrender, He has done a good thing. For us to be more fully aware of Him in every way, willing to give of ourselves whatever the cost. And so we're going to spend some time in personal reflection. We're going to spend some time in God's Word. We're going to be challenged by hopefully one another. But one of the other things that intentions of this is we as the ladies of Grace don't have a lot of random times that we gather together where we might get the chance to meet people that we don't normally meet. And so I want every person walking into this room to have the intention to get to know somebody they wouldn't normally get to know. If everybody did that, everybody's going to feel seen too. So I would love for us to do that, and you'll have an opportunity at the end and even a little bit in the middle. So with that, let me open us up in a word of prayer. Father, we want to just kind of settle in right now and become aware of ourselves and what we're bringing to this space, but especially aware of You. Father, we just acknowledge our need for You, that our gathering here is actually worthless if You aren't here and moving among us and moving in us. So we ask You to come and be present. Lord, if there's any woman here who walked into this space and is going, what the heck am I doing here? I actually pray that by the end of the morning, they will very clearly know that You had purpose for them being here. Lord, I also pray that if there's any woman here who feels disconnected or doesn't know anybody, that they will walk out of this space having met some people, having felt seen. Lord, I pray that we would be a community that grafts women in. We love You. We care about you, and we ask you to come and meet us this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. Come on in, you guys. Somebody's going to end up in the front row. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. All right, I'm going to give you an overview of these 3 weeks, what we're going to be doing. And I know some of you are like, I can only make it this week. That's cool. That's the beauty of a drop-in. But I want you to have an idea of where we're going and what we're doing for this. And this first week, we're going to be talking about... Oh, don't tell... Oh, there we go. Okay. We're going to be talking about the grip. Yeah, I know. What is that? The grip, not my own. So these are kind of intentionally a little bit nebulous. The exchange, my life for his, and then the gain, more of him. So that's where we're going this week as we explore this idea of surrender. But one of the things I want to say, how many of you have done a summer study with me before? Okay, a number of you. So you know that for the summer study, you do the work. I actually don't do a lot of the work. So if you came expecting to just sit here and chill, I'm sorry. That's just not what's going to happen. So give you an idea of the structure of our time. We'll have time for reflection alone, passage reflection, personal reflection, then a little bit of brief teaching. And I say brief, though I usually intend it to be brief. I can be long-winded. So, but that's the intent is brief teaching. A short video we'll have each week that will kind of help broaden our understanding. And then we'll have a little bit of discussion, both smaller group and larger group discussion. And then lastly, we'll just kind of close out our time together with any final thoughts. So that's where we're going. That's what the morning looks like. And I just want to say I have been looking forward to this study. Not because I love the topic of surrender. I've been looking forward to this study because this is what God's doing in my life right now. And I've had some pretty significant circumstances that are requiring surrender. So I feel like I want to say I'm learning with you. I'm not standing up here as somebody who I get how to surrender. No, I'm standing up here as somebody who is wrestling and struggling with what that means and what a life of surrender really looks like. And so in a sense, I said, let's come in and grapple together. Let's wrestle together. And sometimes when we're doing that, we end up walking away with more questions than we do answers. And I actually think that's good. I think that creates good learning. It stirs something in us where if we then start to seek the answers to those questions, God can move in that, right? So that's what we're doing. Okay, so this idea of surrender. Let me start by saying, well, let me just ask you guys and just shout it out. What comes to mind when you hear the word surrender? You can say anything. Give up. Let go. Pain. What'd you say? Pain. Submission. Scary. Oh, I love where you guys are going with this. This is good. We're going to be in a good space together, you guys. What else? Unknown. Unknown. Relief. Uncertain. Kneeling. What'd you say? Kneeling. Freedom. Humility. I love this. Okay, anybody think of the white flag of surrender? Yeah, right? So we all have different kind of ideas of surrender, but what's interesting is surrender is not a word explicitly expressed in the New Testament. You won't find that word unless it's like a really strange translation. But it is a concept that is literally peppered throughout the entire Word of God. It is something he is constantly inviting us into and calling us into, is this posture of surrender. And when I think about it, I see kind of a posture of three things that we're going to kind of be walking through. I want you to get a visual of this. This is not a new analogy. But we have this idea of we're gripping our life really significantly, right? And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is this furled grip. And then we want to move toward the unfurled hand. Right? The hand that kind of looks like this. But then ultimately, we believe that I love this picture because it's almost like these hands are not just unfurled, they're receiving. There's something being given to them. There's something being received. And so these are kind of the postures we're going to be walking through in surrender. But I want to say, I mentioned the white flag. But I very strongly believe that surrender is not a white flag thing, not the kind of surrender we're talking about. A white flag is kind of like, all right, I give up, right? This is an actual offering of ourselves. That's the kind of surrender we're talking about. It's a kind of giving over to. I would describe it as a yes to God. My husband and I have been having this conversation about acquiescing versus choosing versus saying yes, right? And so often our surrender is an acquiesce. But the surrender we're talking about today is an actual, I'm giving myself over to and saying yes. It's a different kind of surrender. And it's not just an initial yes, it's a continual yes to God, right? So it's interesting. I would say for most of us in this room, I don't know all of you, but I know many of you, we completely say yes to doctrinal surrender. Like we have, doctrinal surrender has happened in our lives. Like theologically, we are on board. Like God is sovereign. He is powerful. He is at work. He's moving. I can offer myself to him. But functionally, we are really struggling to surrender. So what we're wanting to do is move from that doctrinal surrender to actual functional surrender, where our lives are lived out of this place of a yes to God. And I will say functional surrender is a struggle. I also want to make a distinction between forced surrender and actual surrender. So what I mean by that is we have lots of circumstances in our lives that are forced surrender. We're forced into something we didn't want or didn't desire. But actual surrender is this posture and this choice. So to give you an idea of that, and I'm going to dive right into my own stuff here. But 16 years ago, my three-year-old son passed away. That was forced surrender. I would never have chosen it. I didn't want it. That was forced surrender. But then there's a different concept that says, what does it mean for me to actually lift up my boy to the Lord and say, he's yours, whatever you want to do with his life? What does it mean for me to do that's actual surrender, right? So we're put in forced surrender situations all the time, right? But we want to think about what does it mean to actually surrender our lives. And my current circumstances, I'm not going to get into, but I feel like I'm experiencing forced surrender in my life. And so the wrestling I'm having right now is, what does it mean to actually kind of unfurl my hands, even though I'm being put in situations I don't want, right? So this is what we're wanting to move toward, is this from forced surrender to actual surrender, from doctrinal surrender to functional surrender. Got me? You guys with me? Okay. So our theme verse is going to come from Jeremiah 10:23. Lord, it's so funny. These six chairs are just so empty. Vicky coming in. Oh, no, she's like, there's one over here. I'm fine. Look at you. All right, our theme verse today is, or for these 3 weeks, is Jeremiah 10:23. Lord, I know the people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. Whew. There's a couple things that I love in this verse. Is one, it says whose we are, which is going to be vital to our conversation today. But it also is like, we're not in control. Just a reminder. We think we're directing our steps, but it is not for us to do so. Okay, so what we're going to start our morning with is this time of personal and scriptural reflection. And we're going to be in Isaiah 43. And if you turn to your book, I believe that's on page 4 through 6, somewhere in there. And I'm going to give you guys, believe it or not, you're going to get 15 to 20 minutes of alone time. Okay, not really alone, because you might be sitting here with other people. However, I want to, like I said, you guys are going to be the ones doing the work. So you have time in your book. You've got personal reflection, where I want you to answer the question, what are you holding on to most tightly in your life right now and why? And then secondly, what do you believe is God's perspective in this area of your life? So that's just kind of our starting point. We need to reflect on what is it we're hanging on to. And then I want you to sit with a passage of scripture. And the passage that we're going to be in is Isaiah 43. And I just want to give you context. The book of Isaiah is written to Israel. And to give you an idea, the people of God were very discouraged. And they were in captivity. And they were hurting. And they were struggling. And this passage is written to them in that context. Their future was uncertain and their life was hard. And the beautiful thing is this passage has such wonderful implications for our life today. Like such incredible implications. So you're going to be in Isaiah 43. And if you look on page 6, I have some questions you can answer. The first two questions, I always say this, these are the questions that you can ask yourself any passage of scripture you're in. There are great questions. Who is God and what is he asking for my life? Those are two just great questions to ask when you, and for some passages, you'll have a whole host of things, and some things, it'll be a little bit less. And this one, there are some significant implications with some of the questions, and yeah. So all that to say, those are two great questions to ask anytime. Merrily, we got spots right up here. So we've got those two questions, and those I just start with because I think they're great questions to start with. We have two more questions that are a little bit more pertinent to this passage, okay? Now, mind you, there are some of you who might be so tired that in these next 15 to 20 minutes, you just need to sleep. I get that, right? But if you guys are willing to give yourself over to it, I think God has something for us in this. And so I want you to take some personal time. So let me read this Isaiah passage, and then I'm going to actually tell you guys, you don't have to stay here. You can go anywhere on the church campus. I'll ring the bell that you all love so much really loudly when it's time to come back, okay? But let's read this passage together. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, he who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious and honored in my sight. I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, from ancient days, I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? All right. Good passage. So I'm going to give you guys 15 to 20 minutes. I'm going to make that call and just listen for that bell and we'll be back in here. So you guys feel free to get up, feel free to stay. I'm somebody who likes to be outside, so I fully get it. And feel free to sleep. All right? So. Ladies, if you had an open seat next to you, would you raise your hand? If you had an open seat next to you. Would you raise your hand? We have some open seats. Those of you in the gray chairs that are super uncomfortable, if you want to move to some of the open seats, we've got two over here by Brooke. And you can just stay in the uncomfortable seats. Anybody else open seats? I need hand up again because I see people looking for a seat. We have some over here on this side. I think I just gave away my book that had all the stuff written in it. Oh, well. It happens. Somebody will be like, wow, I know Christina's life very well now. A first surrender, yes. All right, if you're looking for spaces, we have some spaces. Raise your over here. There were some. We've got. Any other spaces that were available? Is this space available? Theo, is this space available? No? Somebody's coming back? Okay. One. We've got three over here, you guys. You guys, can I just say thanks for bearing with? This is a lot of women in this space right here, right now, right? The beauty of the drop-in study is you don't have to be committed to come. You don't have to register. But then it creates a dynamic where we're trying to fill in. Now, I knew that we were pushing the limits. I could have moved into the sanctuary. But I like the intimacy of this space. So we're going to be intimate together with all of us. So thank you for bearing with and being willing to be in this space. Okay. We're going to be moving into the grip, not my own. Okay. I have some more people looking for spaces. Can you just put your hand up if you have a space near you? We have two over there. We have one over here. One over here. Elizabeth, we have one over here. This is going to be a conversation. Okay. Yeah, thanks. Whoever has my fun notes about my life, enjoy. Or come trade, yeah. No, just enjoy. It's awesome. Yeah, okay. All right, let me ask you guys. What stands out from the passage? I know this is a lot of women, but we're having a conversation together. So what stood out? Go, Doreen. I love it. I love the enthusiasm. God knows. He knows what we're going to walk through. He knows. He knows. He knows. What else? He knows and he says, do not fear. What else stands out to you guys? There is no one before him or after him. Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. Yes, Elizabeth. He knows us by name. What else? Yes, we are precious and honored. Ginger. You are my witness. So we experience him as this, and then we're actually called to be a witness of him to the world around us. Yes, good. Anything else jumping out? We belong to him. We are his. We belong to him. You guys, it's not an amazing passage. If we just sat in this path our entire life and allowed that to soak in, it would be formative. I am losing battery now, Jess. It's great. Forced surrender, right? All that to say, this is such a powerful passage about who God is and who we are to him. And when we talk about So to whom are we surrendering? This is a vital question. It's actually foundational. There is no need to surrender if it is not a good God that we are surrendering to, right? So we have to fully grasp who we're surrendering to. And what I love about Isaiah 43 is it says so many beautiful things about who God is. Can you just shout some of those out? Just who is he? Redeemer, Savior, Creator, Proud Father, Protector. Merciful, Comforter, Emmanuel, Guide. Is that what you said? Holy One of Israel. Not a foreign God. When I was reading this last night with the group that we were with, that was the one that hadn't jumped out to me before, but it's like he's intimate. He is not foreign to us. He's an intimate God. What else? Intentional. Active. He is not passive. I love it. Okay, you guys came up with so many good ones. When I was just sitting with the passage, to whom are we surrendering? The one true God, the Lord, the Creator, the one who is holy, powerful, loving, protector, redeemer, savior, revealer, personal, comforter, glorious. This is the God we will be surrendering to. This is the God we are surrendering to. This is a good God. And then this passage beautifully expresses who we are to him. And it says, he made us, he shapes us, he knows us, he loves us, he calls us, he saves us, he changes us, he purifies us, he is with us, he protects us, he delights in us, he redeems all things. We have to sit with this before we even start a conversation about surrender. Because there is no reason to surrender if we don't understand God to be this kind of God. We're going to be talking about two grips. Two grips. I titled this one The Grip, okay? But there's actually two grips. There's our grip and there's his grip. And they're both things we need to tend to. So we have our own grip, and I would call it the furled grip, and it looks very much like that picture that we were just looking at. This furled grip, right? And we have this grip on our lives, and we do this because we are trying to control our life, right? We're trying to grip, we're trying to hold on to. The interesting thing is our grip is a desperate grip. It's a weak grip. It doesn't actually know what's best, this grip. It's a disordered grip. Dave was talking about this 2 weeks ago. We have all of these muddled and unhealthy desires. We sometimes don't even know they're muddled and unhealthy, right? And they're misguided by our own limited understanding. That's our grip. But we're tending to have this furled grip. And we're trying to protect ourselves, we're trying to protect our loved ones, and we're trying to control. I have this analogy. This is my daughter, Jessie, when she was 4. She's now 17, and I had to ask permission to use this photo. But Jessie had found a butterfly, and she was able to catch it. And she was so excited, and she comes in to show me her butterfly. And when she unfurls her grip, it's no longer alive. And so the tears poured out. But you guys, this is what we do. We think that she was so excited. It was beautiful. It was good. This butterfly was good. But the way she was grasping it was actually destructive. But she had no idea. She just was trying to delight in this thing. It wasn't actually, but she was gripping it so tightly that it actually killed it. But me, as a mom, if I had been there, I could have said, oh, Jessie, you don't want to grip that. You don't want to hold on so tightly. It actually won't survive. I know what's best for you and that butterfly. But in her limited understanding, she didn't. But we have this God who's like, don't furl your grip. I know what's best for you. But we think we know what's best. She was hanging onto that butterfly because there was nothing wrong with her wanting to hang onto that butterfly. Though we could get into the theological, there are probably things wrong with us doing that. But all that to say, she thought she was doing what was best, and it wasn't. She needed to unfurl her grip. That's our call. We have this furled grip, and we're needing to unfurl our grip. Then we have his grip. Oops, I don't have. So we have our grip, and then we have his grip. And the beautiful thing is he is holding on to us. So we're gripping all of the things and all the stuff, but he has a grip on us. And we are being gripped by the God of the universe. And he will not let go of us. It is a perfect grip. It is a strong grip. And it is all of the things that we just read in Isaiah 43. That is the grip that is gripping us. And Isaiah also says that we are indelibly etched on the palm of his hand. It cannot be removed. We cannot be removed. It is permanent. But what's interesting, because of this grip, our life is not our own. We are his. Isaiah 43:1 says, you are mine. 1 Corinthians 16:20 says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. But here's the challenge. At least I'm going to tell you my own life. To hear that my life is not my own is both comforting and terrifying. It's comforting because it creates a safety. I feel like, okay, I can rest into the arms, into the grip of my Lord, right? I don't have to strive. I can just be, well, there was a word somebody used over here. I can just kind of, right, in that grip. But if I'm honest, it's also terrifying. It creates dissonance for me because it means I am not in control. And in my most honest moments, I am not confident that grip is safe. If I'm really honest with myself, is God truly for us? Can he be trusted with these longings and these desires? Dave actually said it this way 2 weeks ago, our gun block. He said, Lord, if I give you the keys to my house, meaning me, what are you going to do? I'm afraid you're going to remodel the place. I'm afraid you're going to knock down some walls, and they probably are load-bearing walls. Right? Does that not resonate? And if we're honest with ourselves, some of us have surrendered in very severe ways, and it's led to pain. We've been personally and profoundly hurt by Jesus. We have to be honest about that. So then it begs the question, do we believe that he is entirely for our good, even if there is pain involved? Do we believe he is entirely for our good, even if there is some pain involved? And what I would say is that God has an ultimate intent for our lives, and we deal in our imminent circumstances. And that is what creates the dissonance for us. He has ultimate intent, and we're living in our imminent circumstances. And the thing is, we tend to only focus on our imminent circumstances. And he is always concerned about our ultimate intent, his ultimate intent, his intention for us. And his intention for us is to restore and to redeem and to flourish. So we ask the question again. Do we trust it's a good thing that our life is not our own? If there's any question you sit with today, if you walk out of here, you have to ask yourself, do I truly trust and believe that it's a good thing that my life is not my own? Because if we don't believe that, it is impossible to surrender. John Piper says it this way. We are not our own. We are utterly dependent on God for our life, our choices, our provision, our protection, our satisfaction, our meaning, our hope of eternal joy. And so, the words, I surrender to you, God, mean yes, yes, yes. Yes to your purchase of me. I am utterly thrilled to be yours because you love me and care for me. I therefore renounce all self-reliance and all self-exaltation. I give myself to you for you to do as you see fit. I trust you forever. These are profound truths that take so much time to sit in our souls. But the bottom line is, do we believe God is a good God, the God we read about in Isaiah 43, whom we belong to? We are literally his. That is the starting point to surrender. If we don't start there, then we won't be able to surrender. And we'll get into all of the other things, but that's the starting point. So when I'm struggling to surrender, one of the things that I repeat in my head is my life is not my own. My life is not my own. Everything in the world tells us our life is ours. It is ours. So that is completely countercultural to every voice we will hear. So I tell myself my life is not my own. And then my husband's life is not his own. My daughter's life is not her own. My son's life was not his own. I keep reminding myself, and I want to sit in the part of that is comforting and not terrifying. And the more that I sit with the truth of who God is, the more I'm able to sit in the comfort of that, right? I and you, we are in the grip of a good and loving God who wants our ultimate good through our imminent circumstances. That's enough of me yapping. I wasn't too bad. I was semi-brief. Good job, Christina. I'm giving myself a pat on the back. Okay, so now we're going to have a video. It's just a 6-minute video. It's Christy Knuckles. Does anybody know who Christy Knuckles is? Oh, we have one. Melissa, nice. I can't believe you're the yes, exactly. Okay, so she's a worship artist, been doing it for many years, and she was actually part of the, how many of you heard Watermark in the 90s? It's a Christian duo. Okay, she's the wife of that duo. But she's going to be just sharing with us briefly about why it is vital to know who we are surrendering to, who we belong to, what we've just been talking about. So with that, I am going to, I don't know if we have to, yeah, that's good. That's good, Jess. Thank you. Jess, you're on it. I want to make sure my volume's right, so let's hopefully. Nope. I'm going to go back. Can you put the computer volume all the way up? It's this. Sorry, Jess. Okay, Jess says we're good, so we're gonna give it a go again. Okay.
Woo. More often than not, God takes time to remind us of who we are before he commands us to do something, that we have what it takes to do what he's asking us to do because of who he's made us to be. And who does he say that we are here? We are his chosen ones, holy and beloved. Actually, even more important than that, whose we really are. But I wonder, have you really ever owned your unique place as the beloved of God? Have you ever considered that the way forward in this life is the way back? Back to living from your true identity as the beloved of God. I can't tell you how grateful I am that God continues to fight for places in our hearts that we don't even know need rescue. I began reading the very familiar verse 4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. I couldn't help but think about how many times I had read those verses and interpreted it to mean something like, if I scratch God's back, maybe he'll scratch mine. This was so revealing that my relationship with God was still very transactional. And here God was very much pursuing a transformational relationship with me. As I sat still, I sensed him saying to my heart, my daughter, just enjoy me and I'll tend to the desires of your heart. It had been a long while since I'd felt God speak to my heart so clearly. And to be honest, it had been quite some time since I had even thought about what enjoying God even looks like. I read on to verse 5, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence, some versions say righteousness, radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. I sat still and he spoke to my heart yet again. Do you trust me with your cause? Beloved, God is so faithful to meet us right where we are. He knew that my cause had become all about my own wants and dreams, and that I was pridefully carrying around my own righteousness and all that I was so busy doing for God. He quietly whispered some cavernous questions of his own that day as he pressed into my heart. Do you trust me with your dreams and plans and even your righteousness in this life? I believe he was proposing a trade here and a big one. You trust me with your cause, your dreams, your plans, all that you feel like you're supposed to be doing for me. And I'll give you what your heart is truly longing for. In that moment, he brought a memory back to me, but it was a picture in my mind's eye of a bullseye and concentric circles, a target sign. Suddenly, it was as if I could see myself exhausted, running ragged, stuck even, in that outermost ring of my life, trying to do it all on my own. And here came his loving voice again. Just hit the bullseye, and I'll take care of all the outer rings of your life and show you my glory. This was the beginning of the Lord showing me how to live inside out as opposed to outside in. He showed me that the bullseye is the quiet center of his love, where every ache in our soul is satisfied and every longing fulfilled. I love to think, as God's people, this is our true calling in life, to come and live from God every day, to trust him, to wait on him, so that his power and his capacity become our very own. He showed me that the next outer ring just outside the bullseye was the community of the beloved. This is our family, our church, and the people that God is even now bringing into the general vicinity of you because of what he's given you to share as you live from him. And that outermost ring, as we live from the bullseye every day, becomes reclaimed with purpose and passion. I call it the capacity of the beloved, where Christ's strength and his very life is lived through us as we surrender ourselves to live from him. I can't help but think of Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We see yet again this beautiful order, don't we? A call to return to who and whose we truly are. We belong to God. We are his masterpiece, and he created us in Christ Jesus for good works that he's already set in place for us to walk in. I know, because I've lived it, that his principles work and his word is true. When he says that we can trust him and commit our way to him, he means it. When he says that he will act on our behalf, he will show up in ways that we never even imagined.
All right, just some little tidbits there from Christy Knuckles. Okay, I'm going to try something. I don't know how this is going to work in this space right now. My intent is for us to have just a little bit small group conversation. So that means kind of peeling off in 2, 3, 4 and talking about some of the questions here. What questions are being raised for you? Maybe there's things she said or things that I said that you disagree with or that you don't understand or that you think are lame. Like, that's all good. Let's have those conversations, right? And so what I'd love, I'm going to try, and maybe some of you are like, I really am not in a place right now to talk with anybody else. And that is okay. You can be a one, okay? But I'm going to try to have us just kind of, if you can, find a way to connect with 2 or 3 or 4 people right now from where you are and see if we can make this work, okay? And let's have discussion. We're going to take about, 10 minutes. It's not going to be that long, so 10 minutes. All right, ladies, I know that wasn't a lot of time, but we're going to bring it back together. And I'm really impressed you guys made it happen. I'm so impressed. So we're going to bring it back together. All right, ladies, let's come back together as a group. Coming back together as a group. I like the shushing. I don't like to do it myself, but it's very effective. All right, you guys, we're going to come back together as a group. Thank you. How many of you met somebody new just by doing that? That makes me happy. Okay. All right, you guys, I want us to have a conversation right now. I want us to talk about what's stirring in your minds. What are the questions arising? What are the things you're wrestling with? Let's talk together. Let's just have a conversation. So is anybody willing to share? Kind of, these are the things that maybe emerged in your group, or these were the questions we had, or this is what we were wrestling with. Anybody willing to share? Yes, Linda Lawler. Yeah. And amen. Yeah, it's funny. Last night, somebody was sitting here, and she goes, "This is so darn hard." And I was like, "Yeah." And yet, the beauty is we're all in it together, right? Here we are, trying to work it out together. Yes, Janice.
I have a real problem with God's timing.
Oh, you have a problem with God's timing. Yeah. That's funny. Yes, that whole we're not in control thing is pretty rough. Yes. Yes. Yeah, Michelle. But it doesn't pan out for you. I love that. And I feel like that's the core of the wrestling, right? That's the core of the struggle is sometimes some of the things we're asking for, some of the things we're longing for. Dave talked about this 2 weeks ago. The desires are good. They're actually biblical desires. They're things that, and we cannot wrap our minds around the fact that he is not actually moving in those ways. Why, even as we surrender our lives to you, Lord, and we say yes to you, you're still withholding things that seem like they're the right things. They're good things. I mean, that wrestling hits right at the core of my own life. I mean, we prayed significantly for our son to be healed, right? So significantly. Thought it was going to happen. And that's a good thing to ask of him. It actually claims so many of the promises of Scripture as well, right? And then Judd died. That was a good request, right? And so we wrestle with what does surrender mean in the midst of that? And that, again, we go back to the forced surrender versus actual surrender, right? What we were talking about at the very beginning. Because we are put in forced surrender situations all the time. But what happens in our heart is actually what matters most. And so can we then come to a posture of surrender, which basically is a humility that says, God, I trust you even when it doesn't make sense to me. Right? I love that, Michelle, because that is the core of the struggle we're talking about. What else arose? Teresa. You're not alone. Yeah. Yes. It's a hard one for all of us. It's actually very, and that's why I say I'm in this right now. It's very much central to what I'm wrestling through in my own life right now. Like, what is this going to require? And why does it have to be hard? And why does it have to be painful? And that's where we go back to also this. His intention for us is, and this is a hard thing, this is the kind of the paradigm shift, his intention for us is very different than our intention for ourselves. Amen to the darn it! But I think that he also, but I want to also say, I feel like he's a God who is compassionate and goes, I get why this is terrifying for you. It's not just like, oh, come on, buck up. Let's do this. It's like, I see you. I understand you. I'm the God who knows, sees, shapes, loves. He has so much compassion for us, you guys, in the struggle. And I think sometimes we miss that. That's why we have to know who he is and how he sees us for us to be able to surrender. Because if we feel like he's just a punitive God that's like, do this. I'm making you want this. Come on, just buck up. It's like, oh, I can't. He made us. He knows we have all of those emotions, all the things that are attached to that. And he says, I see you. And he sees us each individually, and it's so different, right? Like, we all bring our different stuff, so to speak, to the table of surrender, right? And he sees each one of us. I love that, uniquely. What else? Anything else jumping out, standing out? Yes. Remind me, Cindy, right? Okay. I love that. No, say it again really loudly. I want everybody to hear it.
No stretch marks and no stagnant movement.
You are in good company to say that one. I actually love what you just said, Cindy. And there was something beautiful said last night. Our sweet Diane McCardle was sitting right here where Stephanie is. And she goes, you know, the older I have gotten and the more I have seen God work in my surrender, the easier it is to surrender. The more I have given over myself to God and surrender over the years, the easier it is to then give myself over because I have seen him work and move in my surrender. His transforming work. Amen. I love that. And you know, I feel like it doesn't mean it's not hard. It's just that we begin to know he's a God who shows up, right? But we actually have to give ourselves over to surrender to experience that. Right? Yes.
How do you know that some of your life circumstances are from God?
Okay. Well, I love that question. And that gets seen the problem of evil, if we're going to really go there. But I will say, we live in a very broken, fallen world, right? And actually, every pain, every heartache, everything actually stems from the fallenness of the world we're in. He is a God who is good. He is a God who created beauty and all that is right and good and holy. And so every pain is reflective of the brokenness of our world and that we have an enemy. So let's just start there. But God is a God who redeems, right? And so when we, like Isaiah, throughout Isaiah, we see God's redemption. We see that God, he is a one who can take the brokenness of this world and he uses it redemptively. And that's where I talk about his ultimate intent, right? He's allowing things to happen, but he has ultimate intention in that. And we have to cling to the ultimate intention. Yes, Stacia.
I was just thinking that he allows circumstances that are hard and devastating, and yet he's still asking us to say, I trust you, okay. Your will, not mine. This is really hard. This really sucks. And yet, his spirit draws our spirit to still love him.
I love that. She said, his spirit draws our spirit to still love him in the midst of the devastation. And in my own journey, and maybe some of you are at this place, I have been at such places of heartbreak that my prayer has simply been, God, keep me. God, keep me. You hold me, because I actually can't even hold on myself right now. And that's why we're in the grip of the God we've talked about today, Isaiah 43. I don't know if your question got answered. It was Arabella. Oh, such a beautiful name. Do we need? Should we explore that anymore? Are we good? Like, because I mean, it's such a deep question. Like, we're scratching the surface on all of this, right? Like, this is just. Pardon? Her question? Arabella, will you repeat it? Right? And I would actually say that God allows all things. But anything that is a place of pain or heartbreak is a result of being in a very broken world. And so we could get into the nuances of the suffering, right, and the problem of pain and all of that, which we can't today. but I think those are the right questions to be asking, because I think what they do is they take us to the foot of the cross and say, what are you doing, God? What are you doing here? Elizabeth. She said, when I'm at the foot of the cross, I'm reminded that God is a God of reconciliation. I love that. You wanted to say more?
Well, he illustrates that in what he's done with his son.
And that's what we're going to get into next week. Perfect segue, Elizabeth. His irresistible grace. Regardless of us.
Well, I think a few weeks ago, Todd Pickett was talking about, you get up and
You just do it. Lead with the body is what he said. Lead with the body. I love that. Okay, you guys, it's 10:28. I promised to get you done at 10:30. Believe it or not, we're going to. So all that to say, this is important to recognize. We are literally, the whole intent of this is to scratch the surface, to get us to talk more, to get us to seek more, to get us into the word more, all of those things. I just want to point out in your book, there's more in there for you to do on your own. We have a digging deeper section, which is just kind of sitting with some passages that still speak to this. For those of you who know me, I love the Psalms. They're like a lifeline for me. And so anytime I'm thinking of or wrestling with a certain idea, I actually usually turn to the Psalms because I feel like you get the human emotion in the midst of the wrestling. And so Psalm 100 is one we have for this week that you can sit with. And then we also have a prayer at the end that we're going to actually close out together with this prayer. But before I say that, next week we're going to be talking about the exchange, my life for his. And I just want to ask this question that will help me plan for next week. I know on the registration, there were several people who could only make it the first week. Can I just see a show of hands of those of you who are only first weekers? Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. That helps me. Thank you. So I know this is hard to say, but we're going to still be in here, I think. Okay. So hang with me, people. I like this space because it's intimate. Even though it's tight, and it goes from cold, really, really cold, to really, really hot. So we're just making it work, all right? That said, would you guys turn in your books to page 11? And I want to close us out with this prayer. And this is a prayer I would actually, maybe even this week, you just read through it and pray it every day this week. And it'll be part of your act of surrender. And I'm going to ask you to actually read it out loud with me. Almighty God,
I am loved with an everlasting love and clothed in eternal righteousness. Your peace flows like a river. Your comforts are many and large. My joy and triumph are indescribable. My soul is made new by salvation in you. Jesus, you have smiled upon me, and my knees are swallowed up by your grace. Thank you for holding me and keeping me. Loving me. Thank you for never leaving me or forsaking me. Please forgive me for my misdeeds, shortcomings, unbelief, and lack of love. By your Spirit, cleanse me. Conform me to your image. All the good things of life are worthless in light of your love. All the treasures of a million worlds cannot make me richer, happier, or more content. All the riches of your glorious kingdom are mine. Help me to release my grip on the things of this world. Help me to know the sweetness of your presence. Help me desire you more. I praise you for your faithfulness to your promises. Amen.
Let me pray. Father, I pray that as we go out from this space, that you will actually, for each one of us, allow something about who you are, the truth of who you are, and the truth of who we are to settle into our minds and hearts. Father, I pray that you would make us a people who so recognize the truth of who you are that we can't help but want to offer our lives to you. And not just once, but on the daily yes. Father, I pray that you would help us. We understand in some ways what it means to surrender doctrinally and all those things. I actually ask that you would help us to move toward what it means to functionally surrender to you. And not just the things that are forced upon us, God, but that it is an actual offering of our lives in every circumstance where we recognize that we are not our own. We are yours. And God, I pray as we sit with the reality that we are not our own, that we are yours, that we would sit more significantly, more firmly in this idea and this concept of comfort rather than the terrifying part. Help us to recognize and understand what it means to rest in your grip, to be yours. In all of the ways that we have the privileges of your children as your daughters. Lord, if there's anybody here who is really sitting with us and going, it's not gelling. I pray that you would just show yourself to be near, that would be the starting point to conversation with you. Father, we love you. We want more of you. And we want to want more of you. And we also recognize that we cannot do anything we're talking about apart from your Spirit moving and working. It is so outside of us. And so we come to you out of our need, out of our humility, and say, God, we need your Spirit to change us and to shape us and to move us. So come and do that work, God. We love you, and we thank you that we get to do this together, that we get to laugh about the hard, because it is hard. Lord, I thank you that you have us in community to do this. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, ladies, before you go, please meet one person you have never met before. I really encourage you to do that.